Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Monday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We are 2 days before Christmas, T-2 and counting. And I hope that you are looking good as you prepare for your holiday season. I know lots of people are, they've kind of started today. And so not working this week, many people not working this week, but we're working. And I'm sitting across the table from my beautiful wife, Debbie. She's been AWOL for a couple of weeks.
Yes.
And but she is here.
Life has been busy.
Busy.
Okay, listen, before we even start, can I just go back to our opening music? I just love it so much. It's so happy.
Yeah.
It's a happy music. Our son-in-law Jay found it for us, and I love it.
Yeah, it's very good.
I know.
So we want to talk to you today. Lots going on in the world. Terrible things. You saw the crazed terrorist drive his car through a Christmas gathering there in Germany and killed 11 people, injured 60 more. And you just scratch your head and you think, what kind of evil are we dealing with to mow down families and little kids? It's just sickening. But, you know, there's that to talk about. There's Trump's statement about we need to get rid of woke and wokeism out of our country, which is so true. But Debbie and I wanted to talk to you today about the family feud at Christmas. You know, we look forward to Christmas, and Christmas is family time, and, you know, it's holiday time, and for a lot of people, it's time off. If you work retail, it's time on because things are really, really busy. But for lots, we're off, and maybe the pace slows down as far as work goes, but then you have family activities that really ramp up. And the sad reality is you can start to get on each other's nerves, and this perfect Christmas that you had built in your head turns into the family feud. So we want to talk about that, why the holidays bring out the worst in us and in our marriages, in us in terms of family members often, and then what do you do about it? And so here's our passage from Ephesians 4 about interpersonal relationships. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment. Speak words that build up, not words that tear down, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, and be kind to one another. All husbands, wives, families need to heed that one, Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Okay, Debbie, when I brought up this subject, hey, let's talk about this, couples fighting and families fighting at Christmas time, I immediately thought, well, that's going to hit a lot of folks because
sure.
Bringing the families together, and sometimes it's not just your immediate family, it's when you go to your, okay, we're going to go and we're meeting with the cousins and we're meeting with, you know, mom and dad and whoever else is there, and don't talk about politics, don't talk about this, don't talk about that, because those can be explosive.
Well, I think it can even start before then, especially for couples that have so many different families that they need to try and get to visit mm-hmm. in a holiday season. For instance, if both the husband and wife come from a divorced family situation mm-hmm. where they have mom and stepdad, dad and stepmother kind of thing, you have four different groups of people
right.
that you're trying to see in a short amount of time, in addition to just your own nuclear family. And so I think a lot of stress can come even before you get to people. Mm-hmm. It can come with just trying to navigate, not offend, not hurt people's feelings, you know, make sure that everyone gets attention, as it were. And I think that can be very stressful.
Well, that reminds me of the holiday movie, The Four Christmases,
yes.
with Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon, mm-hmm. that has some really funny scenes.
Yes.
That they're trying to make all these Christmases, and mm-hmm. yeah, you wear yourself out.
Right.
So that anytime you get tired, you and stress is added into that, it's the formula for biting somebody's head off.
Right. Well, and I think so often the one we take it out on the most, the one that we don't extend the grace to, we don't extend the same level of kindness to, is our spouse.
Right.
Because it's like they're, that's the person we can kind of let our hair down with, so to speak. That doesn't apply to you, Jeff, since you don't have hair.
Right.
But we can kind of let our hair down the most with that person, and they can take the brunt of our frustrations. And so we do, like you were talking about in that verse in Ephesians 4, we do have to really make a very intentional decision to be grace, to extend grace to each other, to extend kindness to each other, because it is a very, very stressful time. And I think it's often stress is added because we have so many unrealistic expectations of how Christmas is going to be, what our participation in it needs to be. And we've probably just watched too many Hallmark movies, right? Where everything is just always, you know, everything resolves itself in such a perfect, miraculous way. And everyone's so happy and love is just oozing out of every corner,
right.
You know, and that's just not reality. That's fiction. And so we have to be very careful with what we expect of ourselves as well as what we expect of other people.
Well, we ran across an article by Family Life Ministries, Janelle Brittenstein, Steinstein, I'm not sure how you say that. But anyway, she says, why the holidays bring out the worst in your marriages. Three reasons we clash during the holidays and how to stop fighting. So she's, her first reason is we face the stresses of Christmas. And Debbie, as you said, you know, we have all these things that we feel like we need to get done. And so this to-do list is so long, and you know you can't smell the roses. I mean, there's no time to do that. We got to do this, and we got to do this, and all the cooking that, especially that so many women feel the need to do and the pressure to do. And let's face it, I mean, a lot of people depend upon mom to cook all this stuff.
Well, and I think too, and I don't know if this, I'm assuming this is probably in every school across the nation, but for elementary schools and junior highs, the week before Christmas, it is stressful on parents because you have all these parties that are going on. You have all these different day events where this is pajama day, this is dress up like a reindeer day, this is this day. And if your kid is the one kid that's not participating in this, you know, it doesn't go down
right.
Well. So as a mom, you have the pressure of making sure all of those things get done for your kids, plural. You know, if you have more than one kid, you've got to make sure that they all have an outfit appropriate for each day. And that's a lot of stress. And then you just think about all the social media posts of people doing these fun things at Christmas. They're, you know, they all have their matching pajamas on, taking pictures. And and if you're just not one of those folks that's important to you, you can think, okay, well, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do that? Why haven't I done that? I ran out of time to do that. I'm just not good at managing my household, or I should have been able to have gotten us all matching pajamas. And maybe your finances don't even allow for that.
Right.
Right. But there's just all these kind of social pressures that can be put on us to have our homes look just so, our yards look just so, our packages wrapped just so.
Well, that having your yard and putting up Christmas lights,
oh,
and
dear. Yep.
All the decorations. I mean, you do a great job with that. We do some outside, but not.
No,
but
not
I put up Christmas lights when we first got married.
Oh, goodness. That was so funny.
And I said, I'm never doing that
again.
Yeah,
I can still remember you on the roof with your head hanging over the roof, looking down at me and telling me, never ask me to do this again. And I never have.
No.
Because it just didn't go well. Because you're scared of heights. So we from the get-go,
yeah,
it was a bad idea.
I don't like heights. And
you don't like creating work for yourself. That's a big one.
Yeah, because then you do that, and then you have to take it down.
That's correct.
If you remember, we had those lights up, I think, until April.
Yes, because it was like, I'm not getting back up there.
Yeah. But, I mean, we put a lot of stuff, one of the stresses that comes into, and stress fuels the feud. But you have to ask yourself, how much of what I'm doing is really what the Lord wants me to be doing. You know, I think about the Mary and Martha thing, where Martha was so stressed, and Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary, really only one, for Mary has chosen the good part. Sit at my feet listening to my word, which shall not be taken away from her. And so I think we talk about Jesus as the reason for the season, but we miss out on Jesus being the reason for the season when we have all these things that we just feel like, this is so important, I have to do this. Well, maybe you don't. Maybe as far as, you know, cooking all day, you just order out, or you just simplify
divvy it up.
Yeah. And you get help, and you say, hey, you're bringing this, you're bringing that, you're bringing the other. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about my mom, you know, before she got to where she couldn't do it, you know, she would always do everything. She never asked any of the girls to bring food, and so she would make everything for
a big family. Can I tell
a
funny story about your mom just real quick? Okay, Jeff's mom, it turned 96 in October, the end of October of this year, and so we were telling her that we were planning on coming to Houston right after Christmas, and we wanted to have a Shreve family get-together, you know, at her house, and she was like, oh, well, that would just be delightful if I'm still here. You know, she's just so funny because she's just so matter of fact.
If so I'm still alive.
We were laughing about it. She goes, well, I am 96. Yeah. I'm not going to be here forever. But yeah, I go back, Jeff, to what you're saying about simplifying things. And I know one of the things that I learned early on, especially when the girls were little, was one of the main things that helped me simplify the whole Christmas experience was that I didn't wait until the last minute to do the Christmas shopping for the for everybody. And I think it, particularly in this current financial economy that we are in, man, that can put a lot of stress on a family's budget if you in 1 month try and purchase all these things as Christmas gifts. You're putting stuff on credit cards. You're ending up paying double for it because you're paying all the interest if you're not able to just pay it in full. And it can add a lot of stress. I was just at the grocery store this week, and I was shocked when I bought a dozen eggs, and they were over $4 for a dozen eggs. So I was even talking to the gal at the checkout. I was like, how are people doing this for Christmas? I mean, everything is so much more expensive, particularly if you're on a fixed income. Mm-hmm. And so early on, I learned, okay, I'm going to start looking for sales. I'm going to start my Christmas mentality shopping back in like September, October, where I just am kind of on the lookout for things. And I have done that for the past couple decades. I have done that. And it relieves such stress. And then I'm not having to pay for all of that in 1 month either. I'm able to spread mm-hmm. that out. I'm able to get things as I hear the girls, or maybe you mention something that, oh, that's, you know, I kind of make note of that mm-hmm. and kind of am on the lookout for those kind of things. And that's a big help to me. It may not be a big help to anybody, to everybody, but it's a big help for me.
Well, we went to Branson, what, in early November?
October.
We went in October. Mm-hmm. And one of the days we spent at the big mall was mm-hmm. to buy
Christmas.
What, that big outlet mall they have there. Yeah, buy Christmas gifts for people. Mm-hmm. So that's months before.
Right.
And that helps. And then that takes the pressure off. Well, we're talking about the family feud, why the holidays bring out the worst in your marriage and in your family. You know, you tend to put on a happy face for those people that you don't live with, that you just see, you know, periodically, or you see at church or whatever. But the people that you're, you know, at home is really the acid test of your Christianity.
Right.
Because that's where the rubber meets the road. Anybody can put on a smiley face and say praise the Lord at church, but when you get home, that's when it can get stressful and it can get hard. And you have to remember Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Think before you speak, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Hey, speak words that build up, not words that tear down, and ask God to put a governor over your mouth this Christmas, really every day, but this Christmas especially, so that you can be a blessing to your family. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie. We'll be right back.
This is Abraham Hamilton III with AFR, and we're sending Bibles. Here's Michael with Bible League International.
Abraham, I'm coming to you and your wonderful listeners today with a very special request for the month of December, and I'm remembering John 1, where the apostle writes, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The light has shone in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And yet, would you know, in the regions of Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America, as many as 9 of 10 new believers have never read that scripture in their own Bible because they do not own one.
Everyone wants to read the Bible, but many of them will be sharing the single Bible.
Isn't that heartbreaking? Christians must share Bibles in places like South America. You know, this December, we're inviting you to bless 7,000 Bible-less believers. You've done it for 3,000. We've got 4,000 to go. We need to do it by December 31st. So pray about it, get involved, and would you help us meet this goal?
$5 sends a Bible, $100 sends 20, $500 sends 100. Give by calling 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or visit sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org.
When you're driving your car, you have to stay in the right lane to get where you're headed. Relationships are kind of the same. On the next Focus on the Family, Pastor Kevin Thompson helps you learn how to navigate the roads of life, circumstances, situations, and relationships by staying in your lane. That's next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
As they left the manger, they couldn't keep quiet about what they had seen. They told everybody. Their lives would never again be the same. The sky would never again seem so dark. They would know that just as they had kept watch over their flocks, there was now somebody keeping watch over them.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Why the Nativity, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Many Christians don't realize that the way they live their life on earth determines the rewards they'll receive in heaven. This Christmas, discover how to live for what truly matters with Hearing Jesus Say, Well Done, The Secret to Securing Heaven's Rewards, the inspiring new book by Dan Steiner, president and founder of Preborn Ministries.
As a Christ follower, you will live forever in heaven. The book, Hearing Jesus Say, Well Done, The Secret to Securing Heaven's Rewards, is a roadmap on how to be sure you will hear Jesus tell you, well done, and the secret of enjoying your best life forever.
This life-changing book reflects the heart of Preborn's mission, saving babies, sharing the gospel, and making an eternal impact. It shows how your faith and obedience to God's calling can lead to heavenly rewards. Order your copy of Hearing Jesus Say, Well Done, The Secret to Securing Heaven's Rewards today on Amazon. Every purchase made supports Preborn's mission to save babies and souls.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here along with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about the family feud at Christmas, why the holidays bring out the worst in your marriage, and three reasons why we clash during the holidays, and how to stop fighting. Hey, we're 2 days from Christmas, and we're going to be, hopefully, you, the listeners, and Debbie and myself, we're going to be together with family, and so we look forward to that, but that can also be a stressful time, a difficult time. There's travel involved, and you don't travel very well.
No, I'm such a homebody, and the older I get, the more of a homebody I am. I own it. I mean, it's not good. I'm such a homebody that it's really crossed over to not being good. And
well, and we have learned, so our middle daughter, Amy, has the two little boys, Jack and Chase. Jack's three, Chase is one, and they have a baby on the way. And so we just said, listen, it's easier for us to drive to you than you. They live about 4.5-5 hours away in the Woodlands. Than for you to drive to us, because you have to pack half your car, you know, half your house, put it in the car. And so, yeah, we're going to come to them, let them have a Christmas that's a little less stressful.
Mm-hmm. Right, and to establish their own traditions for their family.
Right.
You know, so that they can do that. You know, Jeff, I was thinking during the break that one of the things that can cause stress around Christmas time is just this this feeling of everything is urgent. You know, we've got to do this, we've got to do this, we've got to do this. And what other people are expecting you possibly to do, and just the importance of being able to just say no to things. You know, like I'm not going to do this year, and I'm not going to feel bad that I'm not mm-hmm. doing it. And to just learn the ability, I guess, to filter through with the help of the Holy Spirit those things that you need to say yes to and those things that you need to say no to. And, you know, we've joked for years that I could teach a course on how to say no, because I have learned how to do that. But I think so often we're so busy trying to do so many things and be so many things to so many people that in our attempts to do that, we're not really connecting with anybody.
Right.
And so we have to make sure that, and this was in part of her article that she talked about, is that we have to stop fighting by taking time to decorate on the inside. And that doesn't mean the inside of your house, but to create a space in your own heart where you are worshiping God and where you put that as a priority. And I think that's one of the significant things about being engaged in a church and being part of a community of believers. Because I know that each Sunday that we meet together, Wednesday nights as well, especially during this holiday season, it's such a worshipful time as we sing praises and as we sing Christmas hymns and as we hear a message. And Christmas Eve service is one of my favorites for the whole year long, is that service. And so to get back to truly the reason for the season, and that alone, if that's a priority, that can help you filter through what you need to say yes to and what you need to say no to.
Well, I heard a statement years and years ago, and it's so true, and this is really good for the holidays. Wherever you are, be all there.
Right.
So, you know, we can be at home thinking about work, and then you're not really, you're home, but you're not really home. You can be at work thinking about home, and then you're not really at work. Mm-hmm. You know, wherever you are, be all there. Focus in on, okay, this is where I need to spend my energies and my efforts and my mental.
Put down the electronics. That's a big one, especially when you're having family time together. You know, and we're all guilty of this. We are all guilty of, you're in a family situation, we're extended family, everyone's around, and you look around and everyone's on their individual cell phones.
Right.
It's like, put them down, you know? Life is short. These people are not going to always be around. And we want to be fully engaged when we're with our families, not divided attention being on our phones all the time.
Well, I think getting back to playing games, board games and card games and things like that, where you interact and, you know, I know you hate the game Monopoly, but
I don't mind the new one, the Monopoly Deal with the cards.
Yeah, that's Monopoly Go.
No, it's Deal, I think. It's a card game.
Yeah, it's fun. And but it when you play a board game, you're talking to the person. You're not on your phone. Mm-hmm. You're not looking at Facebook or Instagram or whatever. And so I encourage people to do that. And, you know, the board games can have lots of players. So mm-hmm. you can play with 4, 5, 6 people. And, you know, if you're playing chess or checkers, that's you and the other person.
Right,
so that can be something to do. How about this one? Reason two, why do we tend to fight at Christmas? A lot of time together. Togetherness, you know, you and I have talked about that before, like with couples that have their own business together. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. You got married to be together, but you need to have time apart too. And
right.
If you're together all the time,
you don't appreciate it.
Well, and you can get on each other's
absolutely,
nerves.
Yeah.
So, And especially at holiday time, because we all come from different backgrounds about what we were taught is important at Thanksgiving and Christmas in terms of decorations, in terms of food, in terms of, you know, we do this and then we do this and then we do this. When we open presents.
Right.
That can be a big one. How you decorate the tree, that kind of stuff. I think for when we first got married, I was like, well, we opened presents on Christmas Eve. Well, we never did that. We always opened presents on Christmas morning. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of came to a compromise there.
Right. I think what we did early on, we don't necessarily do this anymore, but you and I opened our gifts to each other on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did everything with the girls and everybody else the next day.
Yeah, and now we're pretty much Christmas Day when we open. Everybody comes over.
You learned to adapt to the right way of doing.
Well, and I also learned that you open one present at a time, one person, everybody, all eyes on person X. They're going to open their gift. We used to, as kids, we just tore into everything, you know, it was so exciting. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, we don't do that anymore.
We always want to savor each gift, make it last as long as it can last.
Yeah. That's a lot of fun.
But there is something about everybody being together that can cause friction, especially with adult children that are kind of have their own separate lives and their own separate families. They love being together and they love everybody getting together. I think everybody does. But if there's too much togetherness, those individual personalities can start to rub on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so it goes back to what you said at the start of this broadcast, and that was the grace and the kindness. And I think especially with your spouse, I was thinking about this the other day, in the way that we do things in our home, let's just be honest, the bulk of the responsibility of Christmas is on me. Am I right?
Sure.
I mean, I think you would agree with that. But if I find myself getting frustrated with that, I always go back to, but the fun when everybody's together, that comes from you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are the fun element. And so it's like that in our marriage, we balance each other in that way. And it's not that I don't consider myself to be fun at all, but I'm just more Martha oriented.
Yes.
And you are much more Mary oriented, just in your God-given temperament. And so we offset each other with that. And I think that's a good thing to remember. So at those times when I'm not spontaneous enough and carefree enough, you have to remember what I do bring to the table. For those times that I think you're entirely too carefree, I have to remember that you bring the fun to the table.
Right. Well, yeah, you get, you know, you're in the kitchen making all this stuff, and my thought would be, if it were just up to me, I'd go to the donut shop. That would be breakfast. I'd get food from the Mexican restaurant to be lunch. I mean, I just buy it.
But that's one of my love languages is cooking and hosting and those kind of things. And so I do get, even though it makes me tired, I do get a lot of joy out of that. But I go back to that we have to as a, with intentionality, we have to pull up the screen of positives with our spouse.
Right.
Because we are, in all likelihood, we are very different from our spouse. That's, you know, opposites attract. And so we, especially in stressful times, we have to, with intentionality, make sure we focus in on those positive elements with our spouse. Because if we don't, we're going to get stuck down in the meat, in the weeds, throwing mud at each other and getting frustrated with each other.
Well, I think what helps if listeners are out there and you say, okay, well, my spouse tends to do most of the cooking and this and that, and there's, you know, what can I do to help?
Clean.
Yes. So, I mean, asking that question. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Debbie, how can I help?
Yes.
Because I want to help you. I know you have a lot on you. How can I help? Because just bringing the fun element, that's good, but people aren't here yet, and you know.
Well,
and
but okay,
ready.
Here's an example of one of the fun things that is always a huge help to me. When I'm wrapping gifts, you do all of the gift tags, and that's one of our family's favorite things each year is reading the gift tags, because you are hilarious, and so they're always just funny,
mm-hmm.
And so like you'll have on one to Emmy from the pastor and the first lady, or just goofy stuff like that. And so everybody likes to just kind of read those gift tags, but that is a big help to me. And it's not some huge thing, but it's enough to where that I really do appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you have to chime in and help where you're able. And I think that's part of, for the Marthas that are listening, that's part of our responsibility is to be able to say, okay, hey, yeah, I do need you to help me with X, Y, Z.
Well, I think about when we were dating, you know, one of the things that we did early on in our dating, we made egg rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't make egg rolls. I mean, I had never done that before. And, you know, we did that together. We did that at my parents' house. My dad
got
upset about the he could smell that we had been deep frying or something like that. Anyway, it was kind of funny. But I think about that in terms of we need to keep doing stuff together. So wrapping gifts is not fun, but you can make it fun if you do it together, you know? And so what can you do? My friend Tom Reeder was one of those guys. He's gone now, but he was one of those guys that could make everything fun. Mm-hmm. And so in marriage, you know, you're going to have one spouse that's going to be more of the fun factor than the other. Mm-hmm. More, one is more studious and, hey, we got to get this done.
Disciplined.
And the other is more fun. So you got to look at how can I make things fun, even if it's a mundane chore, because mundane chores can be fun if you have the right attitude. And 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Can you imagine doing something like pulling weeds in the garden? That's not fun. But if you get to do it with Jesus, that changes the whole perspective of it. It's like, man, Jesus and I are going to go pull weeds. I mean, how cool is that, that you can do the yard with Jesus? And that's the way we need to look at all of life. You know, I get to load the dishwasher with Jesus. I get to unload the dishwasher, which is something you don't like to do.
Oh, I hate it.
With Jesus. But when you look at it like that, and this brings him glory. You know, if the Lord asks you, hey, will you go take out the trash? Yes, Lord, I'll do anything that you want me to do. And when you look at life that way, then it's not a drudgery, it's not a chore, it's not something you have to do, something that you get to do, and you can do it to the glory of God.
Well, and I do remember, and we talked about this in our 15 years that we had the privilege of speaking with Family Life at Weekend to Remember marriage conferences across the country. One of the main things that we stressed at the very beginning of the conference was, hey, my spouse is not my enemy. And to just keep that in our minds, the forefront of our minds as we go through this stressful time. We are not on opposite teams competing with each other. We're on the same team wanting to have the same outcome with Christmas. And so we have to just remember, even when, you know, my last nerve is just raw and you're standing right on it, hey, my spouse is not my enemy, and to keep that at the forefront of our minds.
Yeah, my spouse is not my enemy.
Yeah, remember that. Say it again. Say it again and mean it.
You are not that into me. It kind of sounds the same. All right, and the last one, the last reason we tend to fight as couples and as a family at Christmas time is when expectations are high. When you build this Christmas is going to be the best, you know, Clark Griswold, this is going to be the best Christmas ever and blah, blah, blah. Well, you build up this expectation that nothing can, short of the second coming of Jesus, can match that. And you got to take that perfect Christmas, the best Christmas ever, all that stuff, you got to take that out and just say, with a wedding, you know, I'm getting ready to do a wedding on New Year's Day, and it's like there are no perfect weddings. Just enjoy the wedding. If something goes haywire, you know, something goes haywire. But don't build all your expectations that it has to be just so. And if it's not, it's a bust, because then you just set yourself up for disappointment.
You know, I can still so vividly remember that my mother, if she got a gift that was not what she was expecting, I mean, it just rocked her world and pretty much just ruined Christmas for her. You know, you could just see it on her face. Uh-huh. Oh, you know, and it would just, she would take it as such a personal offense that you got her something that
she wouldn't like,
you know. And I can remember even as a young kid, just the stress that brought in my life. Uh-huh. And so I just thought, oh, I just don't want to ever be that way, you know, because there's joy in receiving, even if it's not something you would have maybe chosen for yourself. But just that anticipation of that those expectations, you've got to lower those.
Yeah, I just give all your expectations to the Lord and say, Lord, this Christmas, more than anything, I just want to honor you. I want you to be glorified. This is your birthday. It's not about me at all. It's about you coming into this world to save sinners. And so keep that perspective. Well, we are up against a break, but when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony of overcoming stress in your marriage and your family at the Christmas season, we'd love to hear from you. And so give us a call and let's talk. 888-589-8840. We'll be right back.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. We aim to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
This year has just flown by. I know, it's already December.
As this year comes to a close, the AFA Foundation would like to invite you to make a planned gift to American Family Association. With a planned gift, you partner with American Family Association and become a Christian patriot, an activist, a broadcaster, a Bible teacher, a servant, and an evangelist advancing God's kingdom in America. Consider the many ways your planned gift can help restore a biblical worldview in our nation, as well as bring financial stability to your family. A planned gift can take the form of a charitable gift annuity, an IRA charitable rollover, or a gift of stock that helps you avoid capital gains tax. And many of these benefits can be achieved with a surprisingly modest gift. Contact the AFA Foundation and learn more about making a planned gift. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit our website at afafoundation.net.
Hey friends, it's Jessica Peck, Dr. Nurse Mama, as your one-minute parenting coach. Have you ever asked your kid, "How was your day?" and gotten a shoulder shrug with the answer, "Fine"? We are conditioned as a society to respond that we are fine when someone asks us how we are doing. Simply changing the wording could make all the difference in the world. Next time your kid comes home from school, try, "Tell me about your day," instead of "How was your day?" But choose your timing. Kids need time to decompress when they get home. Give them grace and space. Kids at bedtime are most likely to be willing to give you the war and peace length version of their day. Don't give up. Be consistent. And most of all, keep trying. I'll see you on the Dr. Nurse Mama radio show right here on American Family Radio.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Across the table from my wife, Debbie, we've been talking about the family feud at Christmas. How can you avoid the fights that often come when you're together at a joyous occasion like Christmas, and yet you're not getting along well in your marriage, or your family is not doing well, and there's fighting and all these wonderful plans and ideas that you had in your head and expectations for this wonderful Christmas seem to be out the window. And then people just talk about, "I just want to get through this," and they have a bad attitude toward it. So we've been talking about how you can deal with those things, recognize them and deal with them. And you know, one of the things was having healthy expectations and not over realistic expectations. And there's a list that Peter Scazzizzo,
easy for you to say,
this guy that wrote Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, Scazzaro, I guess is how you say it. But he says, you can, he says, what does he say?
To be
healthy,
I'm not sure.
They need, oh, for you to have healthy expectations, they need to be conscious, you're actually aware of it, realistic, spoken, and agreed upon.
I think spoken is huge.
Yeah. This is and as a couple, talk about this is what we want our Christmas to be. These are healthy expectations for our Christmas to be. You know, I mean, it's not an unhealthy, realistic expectation that people would get along mm-hmm. and that we would have fun together. Mm-hmm. And this would be something that people, would, you know, would leave at the end of the Christmas time and say, "This that was great. That was fun. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed getting you to be together." So
well, and I think to remember, too, that we don't have to agree with all of our family on every issue to be able to get along and enjoy each other's company. Uh-huh. We just don't have to do that. I was thinking back to the COVID days, which really is a nightmare to go back to and think about. But I remember within your immediate family, Jeff, or extended family, rather, you know, not me and the girls, but we had some people that were like, okay, if you have not been vaccinated, I can't be around you. Mm-hmm. Then we had the people that were like, okay, if you have been vaccinated, I cannot be around you. You're going to shed on me, whatever it was. And so it was like, oh my goodness. I mean, there's just no way to please everybody. But it goes back to we just don't have to agree with everything, with everyone on everything to be able to have some good quality time together as a family and enjoy each other's company.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't have to do that. We can extend grace. We can extend kindness.
Well, we're going to the phone lines at 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you if you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, or maybe just a prayer request saying, hey, my family's all messed up, and here's what's going on, and I'd like you to pray for me. So we have Lee on the line from Texas. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. I really respect you.
Thank you.
To shorten this, because my family is living in total sin. My brother's side, and we're all supposed to meet at my sister's house for dinner. Well, I wasn't going to go, and because my two best friends are in their 80s, they're Calvinists, and that's what in Ephesians it tells me not to associate with anybody like that. But and my brother's letting a man live in that house, and has already gotten the daughter pregnant. So it's a total mess. So maybe just a prayer request is
yeah.
what I need.
So you are going to go.
I'm going to go because I decided, no, Jesus' last command was love one another as I've loved you. So I've got to at least show love, but they know how I feel. They totally know how I feel, and they know they're living in sin. But they're permitting it to happen, and for each one's benefit, you know. And that's not, Jesus told us to die to ourselves, and
right.
I take the Bible literal.
Yeah,
carry your cross daily, and so maybe just a prayer request, please.
Yeah, for sure. Well, one of the things, Lee, with family that I have found over the years is you know, we talk about shine and share. Shine is how you live your life, and share is how you share the gospel. With family, it's better. The shine part is a lot better. Sharing can cause. You know, it can cause people to feel like every time I'm around this person, they're preaching at me. And so you don't want to do that because they feel like things are being crammed down their throat. And that can cause a lot of conflict if there's some theological differences. So just living your life, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. And that you're there and the sweet aroma, the knowledge of Jesus is on your life and people can tell. That is a huge witness. So let me pray for you.
Well, can I let me interject one thing here, Lee. One thing that I have found that helps me, and it's harder to do with family because you know family. Okay. You're intimately acquainted with some of their ways, right? But if you look at your family members as someone you don't know, and you are just gonna be spending time with people that you don't know, that are living in a lifestyle that isn't congruent with the scripture, how would you treat those people?
Right.
What kind of behaviors would you have around them? How would you show the love of Christ to them? And to be able to kind of separate yourself out from the fact that they are family and they, quote, should know better, unquote, and just really look at them as people who are lost and don't know, or maybe they're not lost, but they've wandered away, they've strayed away from the faith. And okay, if this wasn't a family member and just someone I just met and was spending time with, how would I show love to these people? Mm-hmm. And that kind of mentality, I have found that personally to help me a lot.
Right. Yeah. Well, let me
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Sure.
In Ephesians, it tells us do not associate with those people. But then we're supposed to be a witness for Christ. So I don't really understand. We have to associate. I'm a sinner. I'm a terrible sinner. We're all sinners. So I have to associate with them.
Right.
In some way. But let my light shine is what Pastor Jeff said.
Right.
And they know. They know how I feel. So, and they know.
Yeah, so in Ephesians 5, it says, do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you as is proper among saints. There must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Don't be partakers with them. You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So don't participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, as it goes on to say, but instead even expose them. I don't think that means, Lee, that we're not supposed to associate with our family members or with people at the office or whatever. That's talking in church relationships. When someone's bringing that into the church, it's the, you know, the responsibility of the church to say, hey, we're not going to, you're welcome to come here, but you're not, you know, you're not part of the fellowship if you're living in open rebellion against God. And so church discipline is something that very few practice, but it's important that we deal with sin. And we love the people for sure, but we're not going to love their sin and we're not going to accept their sin, but we're going to love them. And I think with family, I mean, I have family that, you know, living together and things like that and stuff just not right. But it's just like, okay, that person's lost. They need to see Jesus in me. And so this is an opportunity that I have, even without words, to just be around them and to love them. As Jesus loved the woman at the well, he didn't shun her. And she was an immoral woman, and the prostitute that wept at his feet, and all those people that saw a green light with Jesus, that, you know, he loves me, he's gracious, he's not going to, you know, overlook my sin, but he's not going to be like the Pharisees that just say, you're trash, get out of here.
Well, I think too, it's so often so much easier to extend grace to people that are further away from us. Mm-hmm. So they're not as close to us in terms of related to us or family. It can be harder to extend grace in those situations, but that's what we need to do.
Right. Well, Lee, let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I just pray for Lee, and I pray for this gathering that he's getting ready to go to. I pray that you would give him wisdom. I pray, Lord, that you would just help him to see his family members and the people that he'll be around, see them as you see them. I pray that you would shine through him, that he would be just have a heart of love for his family and extended family. I pray that he would be gracious. I pray that he would be an encourager, that every word that comes out of his mouth would be a word that builds up and not a word that tears down. I pray that you would just bless that gathering, God, that you would use it for good, that you'd use it to open blind eyes to the truth, and that Lord Lee would have a lot of fun, that he would just know that maybe this is a missionary exercise, and you're having him go just as a silent witness, and as he lives his life and just conducts himself in a way that's pleasing to you. So we just trust you with it. We thank you for the opportunity. We lift it up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, Lee. God bless you, brother. Okay, Debbie, so this is one of the things that was written in this article by Janelle. Is it Janelle?
Yeah.
Janelle, yeah. I can't pronounce her last name, but Birkenstein or something like that. Anyway, she says you can hone in on what your real desires are with questions like these from David Paulison. Follow each question with a why. She's talking about expectations. What do I want and why? What do I crave, long for, wish, seek, and why? Whose desires do I obey and why? I think that's a battle between the flesh and the spirit.
For sure.
Am I going to go God's way or am I going to go my way and obey the desires of the flesh? What do I fear or who do I fear and why? And what do I feel like doing and why? Now, I think that can get you in trouble. What do I feel like doing? You can't let your feelings drive the train. Mm-hmm. You got to let the Lord drive the train, because feelings, as we have talked about before in the program, you know, feelings can't dictate what you do. You tell your feelings, hey, this is what we're doing. You mm-hmm. can get on board. But I'm, you know, I don't feel like getting up this morning and going to work. Tough. I'm getting up and going to work. You know, I don't feel like exercising. Well, we're going to exercise. So all those different things. You don't let your feelings control you.
Well, I think too, especially when you're with family, your feelings can tell you, I think I'm going to open my mouth and just let these thoughts right on out. Right. And that's just not always the best thing to do. And so to just be very cognizant of that and to just ask the Lord to really put a guard over your mouth. And for me, I have to have a guard not just on my mouth, but on my face, because I can express a lot of how I feel 100% non-verbally. And so you have to have a guard on that as well.
Well, and going into a big family gathering, just know that how you act is important, but how you react. And you can have a family member that wants to punch your buttons.
Yes.
To see how they can get you riled up. You know, you can be a Christian and have a lot of non-Christian family members, and they're going to make fun of you, or they're going to do something, and to see if they can get you to lose it. Mm-hmm. And so be very cognizant of that, and just know, Lord, I want when they jostle me, I want them to see Jesus and not me, because that can be such a great witness when they know that you're just, they're mean to you and you're kind in return. You know, love your enemies, as Jesus said, and, you know, do good to those who are doing bad to you.
You know, I experienced that early in our marriage with someone in your family.
Yes.
At every family get together, they would just bait me. And I would end up leaving those gatherings just exhausted because, you know, I was just always on guard. I wanted to make sure I responded in a Christ-like way. And I can say that as time has progressed, you know, over these 30 plus years that we've been married, yes, that does not happen any longer. Uh-huh. And I've kind of earned the right to their trust and to be able to speak things to them that I wouldn't have had the right to speak to them early on, that would have been very offensive to them. Mm-hmm. But that is an exhausting situation to be in, and I'm thankful I'm no longer in it. But I do remember I remember the stress of that.
Well, and some people want to have a political argument, or they want to have a religious argument, or, you know, it's just not worth it to argue about those things. You know, just say, hey, we probably disagree on this. And what I've learned with my own family, they know where I come from, you know, spiritually now. So I don't have to preach to them. I don't have to open my mouth and share the gospel with them. I just need to live my life before them and let them ask me. And they will ask you, what do you think about this? And once they do, then that's an open door. You're not cramming it down their throat. They ask you, mm-hmm. What do you think about X, Y, and Z? What do you think about people living together? What do you think about transgenderism? What does the Bible say about that? And then it's an open door to share with them. Well, I hope that you have a wonderful Christmas. We have Christmas music for tomorrow, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and the day after Christmas. And then we'll be back with you again on Friday. So I hope you have a Merry Christmas. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie. We wish you all the best. Go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And God will use you as his witness. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.